Dr. Steve and Sir Griffin. The sad truth about many believers is that after we're born again, life takes on a routine, and it's easy for us to live much of our life, if not all of our life, even as believers, without a sense of purpose for our life. Sometimes we go to our graves always wondering, what was the meaning of our life? And this is something I want to talk about for a few minutes today, and I may talk about it for a few weeks. We're talking about the purpose of God that rests on each of our lives. I'm going to let the Word do most of the talking today, a lot of scriptures quickly. Beginning with Acts chapter 26 and verse 16, this was God speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus. And God said to Saul, "Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Everybody say purpose. "To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things I will yet reveal to you." Now, God is no respecter of persons. He loves all of us equally, and He calls each of us with purpose. And He said to Paul, "The reason I have revealed myself to you, the reason I have appeared to you is for purpose." And the purpose of God rests on every one of His children. Now, God is never a victim of anything, and He does nothing by happenstance. God is purposeful in everything He does, and His plan for our lives is filled with purpose for every day we live. We need to find our purpose and maximize it every day of our life. The definition describes purpose this way. Purpose is the reason for which something exists. The reason something exists. Have you really taken it seriously lately and asked yourself, why am I even here? What is the meaning in all of this? What is the reason God placed me here on earth and gave me life? What is the reason I'm even existing? I want to talk today about your purpose is calling. There was a recent survey. It was taken by Johns Hopkins University, and they polled 8,000 college students and asked 8,000 college students what they considered very important. 16% answered making a lot of money. There were other answers, but an overwhelming 75% of the college students taking that poll said finding a purpose and meaning in life. Now, we should have a purpose. We should know the will of God. If you, living in America, die without a will, the state will have a will for you. And so it is with those of us in the kingdom. If you're living without a purpose, we need to realize God has a purpose for every one of us. Now, we're all different. We have different giftings. Some are good at this and that and the other. But when God created each of us, while we were being developed in our mother's womb, He instilled a purpose there. And He did it because He wanted to match our giftings with His purpose for our life on earth. And many believers, many. It's not just pastors who should know their purpose. Every believer should understand that there is a sense of great meaning for my life. There is a contribution God is allowing me to make while I'm alive in the world. Some of you may even wonder, in this room right now this morning, is there any purpose for me? Is my purpose over? Have I already accomplished everything? And here's the truth for you. It's been on our marquee. 30,000 people a day have read it, hopefully, as they passed the church this past week. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. God is not finished with you yet. God will not write off your purpose as long as there's a breath in your body. I don't understand it. I could give you so many examples of what I don't understand about this truth. I don't know why the Lord would allow some men and women to linger, perhaps not even being aware of their surroundings and living their final days, their final hours in a condition like that. I remember Brenda's dad, who went to heaven a year and a half ago, and the last 4 months of his life he lived in our home, and we watched him fail, and we watched life slip away from him slowly. And especially in those final hours when he would not be able to communicate and he was totally unaware, as far as we knew, he was still on earth. I can't understand how God finds purpose in every breath, but we can only imagine in a moment like that what God is doing spirit to spirit with that saint, that man or that woman, as they're ready to leave this world. At that point, it's spirit to spirit, and who knows what the purpose of God is in hours and days like that. Now, this past year, the term existential crisis has become front and center. It's a crisis all over the world. We've been shaken to our core by pandemic and other things. The world was shut down for a while. So many people have suffered in so many ways, and it has brought back the question, what is the meaning of all of this? Why do I exist? Why do I feel so empty? And I want to remind all of us something that we already know. Of course, the Bible, the Word of God, is the number one bestseller of all times. It was written by a great author. But second to the Bible, the number one best-selling book in the history of publications is a book that addresses this issue, written by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. And it spoke to the intense desire that all of us have to understand the why of our existence. Job, at his lowest point in life, said in chapter 17 and verse 7, "My days are past, my purposes are disappointed." Well, he was looking through the wrong filter. He had no way of knowing that God was going to restore back twice everything the man had lost during his season of suffering. You may be thinking here today, because of your age or your physical condition, that your days are past. It's all behind you. You don't even know why you're still breathing air. You may even think like Job, "My purposes are disappointed." Did you know your purpose can be disappointed? God has called our church family back to prayer for 3 months. Each of us should be responsible as to how we respond to that daily, along with prayer and pressing in with prayer. The Lord may lead you to fast. Some things are dealt with only by fasting and praying. It's a time, a season in our church life where we should be sensitive to the move of God and a word that the Lord has spoken to our church family is the word reset. After a year of shutdown and slowdown and barely crawling and slowly cranking back up, we need to reset some things in our life. And one thing we need to reset in each of our lives is our sense of purpose. I'll tell you how purposeful God is. I'm going to move quickly and let the Word be the Word. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Isaiah 14, 27, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, 16, is a phrase, handfuls of purpose. Our God is so much into purpose that He has handfuls of purpose to give to His people. In Ezra chapter 4 and verse 5, another phrase that says, frustrate their purpose. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 13 is the phrase, they obtained their purpose. Let's catch up real quick. Did you know God has a purpose for you? If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Did you know that your purpose can be disappointed? He has handfuls of purpose for us, and yet sometimes our purpose can be frustrated. And yet the good news is, it is possible that our purpose can be obtained and achieved. We'll look at Solomon in just a minute. He wrote these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose. Did you know that the purpose of God for your life may change from one season to another? I'll never forget words of wisdom our bishop shared. I've watched that man all of my adult life until he went home to be with the Lord this past December. Every time he spoke, there was an impartation to those who heard his words. And I remember he gathered some pastors around him. I was in the group of ministers. And his wife had been sick. Now, here's a man who's a great apostle. Here's a man who had such great vision. Here's a man who saw and recognized the call of God in men and women and ordained them into ministry and sent them to the ends of the earth. Here's a man who started one church and built a 5,000-seat building to house the people. But more than that, he helped plant several hundred churches in the United States. And when he went to Russia, as soon as communism was over, he helped pastors and churches like me and us plant over 600 churches in Russia. What a great, mighty man. And yet he told a small group of pastors at one season of his life, he said, my greatest ministry these days is being my wife's caregiver. She can't get by without me. And so that's the most important purpose God has for me right now in this season. So to everything there is a season. If you're in a good one, enjoy it as long as you can, because seasons can change. And with the changing of a season, the purpose of God will be reset or adjusted or totally changed from time to time. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose. Dr. Ron Cottle, standing right here, said, I think it was a mistake. I don't think he had it written in his notes. He was preaching and teaching, and he's one of the greats. And Out of his mouth came these words. I wrote it down, never forgot it. He said, 90% of the will of God is timing. And I realize that's so true. I can look over my young life so far, just a young man that I am, and see, even though I'm as young as I am, how my seasons have changed and the purpose of God for my life has been tweaked and adjusted. There have been times in my life he used me in one way, then seasons changed and he uses me in a different way. And so it can be and probably will be in your life as well. 90% of the will of God is timing. You can know the will of God and act on it, but if you do it at the wrong time, you do damage. Is God a God of purpose or not? Romans chapter 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He's a God of purpose and grace. We all celebrate his grace and mercy, but he's a God of purpose and a God of grace. Purpose is so important to God. Listen to this. Purpose is so important to God that he even establishes purpose in his enemies. I know you would feel better if I had a chapter and a verse to back that one up. And I do. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh was not a believer by name. Pharaoh was the enemy of God's people. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose, God speaking to an enemy, for this very purpose, God said, I have raised you up that I might show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. So God is such a God of purpose that he even establishes one for his enemies. Now let's take a look at Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. That hit me this past week more than it ever has, because Jesus, one of his titles is the son of David, but then Solomon was the son of David first. His father was the great king David, great on the battlefield, great on the throne. And when David died, his son Solomon was overwhelmed. The Bible says in the book of Acts that after David served his generation well in the will of God, he died and was buried with his ancestors. And that left Solomon now sitting on the throne of Israel. He was overwhelmed at the enormous responsibility. He was feeling the pressure to fill his famous father's shoes, and yet he knew God's purpose in his life. It was undeniable. And so he cried out to God. And God said something to Solomon that I'm not sure he said to anyone else. He said to Solomon, make a request of me, anything you want, and whatever it is, I will give it to you. Now God blesses all of us more than any of us deserve. But imagine God giving you that opportunity. John Ross, Tell me what you want, whatever, and I'll do it for you. Anything you can imagine, it's yours. And God spoke to Solomon like that. And of course, you know the story. His request was wisdom. He is the wisest of the wise. The Bible says, there has never been, nor will there ever be, anyone wiser than Solomon was. And he had a little bit going for him even before God offered him to grant a request. Because it takes wisdom to ask for wisdom. Solomon had enough to do that. And yet, even though he was the wisest of the wise, even Solomon struggled in a season of his life with his purpose. And he wondered why he was even in existence. A little character study quickly about Solomon. He wrote three books in the Bible, three books that are his legacy. When he was a young man, he wrote the first book, The Song of Solomon. It's a brief book, but it's a book of poetry and romance. It's a book written by a young man who's expressing how he feels toward the love of his life. In his youth, he wrote a romance and poetry book. In his middle age, the second book was born. It was the book of Proverbs. It's the book of wisdom. It gives us instructions as to how we can live our life on earth. And when he was a much older man, in his older years, the third and final book he wrote was the book of Ecclesiastes, which is quite different from the Song of Solomon, a love story, a romance, and a poetic writing, or the book of Proverbs, chocked filled with wisdom for God's people. The book of Ecclesiastes, written by an older Solomon, struggling at that time in his life with meaning for life and purpose for living. The book of Ecclesiastes includes that famous phrase written by the wisest man, "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity." Can you believe Solomon, if he were the wisest man, and he was, could express such a thing in his older age? All is vanity. Now, let me speak to that word vanity. It means something different to us today. Vanity, today we use it to describe pride or ego. But in Solomon's day, and when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he used the word vanity not to describe pride or ego, but the word vanity meant emptiness. So he was saying, emptiness, emptiness, all is emptiness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the New Living Translation begins in verse 2. Here's what Solomon said. "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher. "Completely meaningless. What do people get for all of their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are never content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, 'Here is something new,' but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. The wisest man who ever lived had a moment. In verse 14, he said, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Oh, I'm depressed about all that now. But the point is, no matter how much wisdom, we still may not escape the crisis we have to face until we come to terms with the fact that God has a purpose for every one of us. And even if Solomon can struggle with it, we may not be exempt from the struggle either. Now I'll close with this, because even though Solomon had his day in the mully grubs, if I had to talk like this, I'd be mully grubbing. I just can't do it. Anybody ask me how I'm doing? I say, I'm doing wonderful. That's my answer all the time. About 30 of you asked me before service, how you doing? Wonderful, I said. I'm going with that one. It makes me feel better. And people, you know, don't want to hear you complain no matter what. So the whole world seems to be a little better if we just decide we're going to be wonderful. But Solomon, God bless him, struggled with his purpose. But now, he's also the one, and I'm closing with this, he's also the one that gives us step one in our search for purpose. The wisest man who ever lived, and yes, he did suffer a search and a lot of questions about his own purpose in life in his season for searching. But he also gives us step one. All I'm giving you today is step one. Aren't you glad I don't have four or five steps today? I'm giving you only step one today. Come back next Sunday. It'll be Mother's Day. Bring your mother with you. We may get step two, three, four, five, six, and seven next week. I'm not sure. But today, just step one in our search for purpose. And it was written by Solomon. It's a very favorite verse for most of us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And here's step one to finding your purpose. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Step one. And he shall direct your paths. We find purpose for our life by connecting with the one who gave us life. How simple is that? I've been guilty of quoting that. I've been able to quote it verbatim for decades. It's a go-to verse. And all of us need to revisit the power and the truth in this verse frequently in our life. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. I mean, listen to what it says. Don't lean on your understanding. The Passion Translation says, don't rely on your own opinions. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. The Passion Translation says, with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. The Amplified Bible says, know and acknowledge and recognize God. I think step one is right here. If you're searching for greater purpose for your life, wanting to know the full meaning of your life as God planned it while you're on earth, then here are the steps. Know him. Acknowledge him. See that word know and acknowledge? You can't acknowledge until you first know. You know him, then you acknowledge him, And then you recognize God in everything you do. You have knowledge of Him and you take knowledge from Him. The Message translation just puts it in plain English where all of us can understand. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Stand if you will. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord today. Thank you that it reaches us. We receive it. We become one with the word of God. I speak to the men and women under the sound of my voice, and I call forth purpose in every life. Not their purpose, not my purpose for them, but the purposes of God in each of our lives. I pray that we will take this word and put it to work in our lives. I pray that you will speak to your people and give us a reset of the sense of purpose you have for us. And for those of you who are here in the auditorium, those of you who are watching by home, I want you to know that it is absolutely hopeless for you to find purpose until you know God, until first of all you know God. It's so simple. You don't even have to be religious. You don't even have to be with anyone. Just turn your heart toward the Lord and invite Him to come into your life. Surrender is an important word. Just give up your rights to everything you claim you own or control and yield it to the Lord and ask Him to take over, to become your Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. Accept the sacrifice He made, His own blood, that we could know God the Father like we do today. If you're missing out, you don't have to another day. Step one for you finding your purpose is get to know God, and you do it by faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for being here today.